Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Manitoga, the Russell Wright Design Center, is the house, studio, and 75-acre woodland garden of American industrial designer Russell Wright. Manitoga's artist residency program began in 2014. This summer's residency project is entitled Ink, the Color of Manitoga, and it's created by artist Kazumi Tanaka. Tanaka is creating natural inks from plant specimens she collects in Manitoga's woodland garden. Her lab and art space is in the main house at Manitoga for the summer. Tanaka was born in Osaka, Japan, and graduated from Osaka University in 1985 before relocating to New York. She lives and works in Beacon, New York, and her art has been shown all around the world. I went to Manitoga to speak with Tanaka and with Manitoga's executive director, Allison Cross. I began by asking Cross how Tanaka became this year's residency artist.
As usual, it was an organic process. I knew of Kazumi's work. I had seen it in Beacon, New York, where she resides and shows. And she had been mentioned to me by a number of people, some former artists, others that know her. And then I received a notice of work that she had done in Philadelphia on a project about indigo dyeing. And there was something extremely appealing about her process, about Kazumi's work that bridges conceptualism and attention to craft, so that there was this tangible and ephemeral together. And then, of course, being born in Japan, I thought that it could be a connection in an area of exploration where we have not gone yet with the artist residency program. And as usual, it begins with an invitation to visit the site and to experience Manitoga together. And it was clear to me that something would evolve that would be evocative and thoughtful, that would speak to place very much and to perhaps legacy and Russell Wright's interest and inspiration that he found in Japan.
So Kazumi, when you were invited to visit with this possibly in mind, had you ever been here before? What did you know about Manitoga?
Yes, I've been here maybe many years ago. I remember, wow, it was like a little Japanese influenced, and, you know, I thought it was a beautiful place, but I thought it also required quite a bit of restoration work. But the idea, like the new material, like very unconventional materials were used, which was very interesting to me. And the feeling of Japanese influence was very intriguing.
When you did come to visit, how did you land on what the residency would be? Where does the, I know you've learned a lot since you've actually started on what it is and continues to be, but what was the seeds of the idea? What did you first hope to do?
Well, first I had a very strange idea. And then gradually it was starting to change because Allison also had some thoughts and we went through some discussion. And through that discussion, I was kept thinking. Sometimes when I wait, all of a sudden it just pops out. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is something I can try. So I had an idea and we had another meeting. I can't quite remember how I described it, but I wanted to work with natural color. After that, it was already middle of the winter and went out to the trail on the weekend all by myself, not expecting to see any color. But then I ran into mountain laurel. Was covered in snow, so in a way, it even more shocking to see the color, because how the mountain laurel dries out those dried seed capsule, they remain red. So it was quite beautiful. And I clipped one specimen, went home, and created three samples of color out of it. And then I drew mountain laurel. Then I realized, okay, this is possible.
You find the specimen, turn it into ink, and then make a drawing or painting of the specimen you found using only the ink that's made from it?
That's right. The picture of mountain laurel you're looking at is made of mountain laurel.
And it's beautifully rendered and detailed. You have it here on the wall in the lab studio where you've made space. Tell me more about this room and how this is also part of the project, being here on site and all of the stuff that's around us right now.
So this is the very special part for me, too. I can get to be inside of actual Russell Wright's big house. And this room originally was his daughter Annie Wright's room. And now it's temporarily available, so I'm very lucky. So the idea was, okay, I'm going to create a studio/lab space within this room. So when the viewer comes, they can get to see the process, which is very exciting for the visitor, I hope, to be open about how I create.
So you've developed a lab in the room. Tell me about working with the people that you've worked with to create the furniture and the look of the lab equipment that we have in front of us.
Yes, so I've never done anything like this before. So first I thought, okay, what do I need to create the lab? I need desks and equipment. So I got in touch with cabinet maker John Reichard. He lives and works in Newburgh, but I've been done some project in the past with him, and he's just such a wonderful, very thorough, precise carpenter / cabinet maker, and he's done a beautiful job. I'm very happy with those desks he created for me.
There's also all of the glass bottles you have, there are old-fashioned looking labels.
Yes, so I decided how people could recognize what's in a bottle. So I thought, well, maybe I need to label them, but I don't want the label to just look like ordinary. So I looked into some images of like old shaker bottles and cans. And so I talked to the designer, Randall Martin. Every bottle he actually custom made the label. And especially I was very excited about the ink bottles. Yeah, the funny anecdote thing is we thought about mayonnaise jar. And then he tweaked it and then created something very charming and simple. I didn't want the label to be too big, so we just kept changing. But he did a wonderful job. And so now you look at the desk, my work area, and it has a nice feeling to it because the label looks old, but it was created by him.
They're brand new, but they do look very antique. Is it hard to know exactly what color ink you'll get from any specimen you find out there?
Yes. I collect a couple so far, and when I saw the skunk cabbage, it was bright purple. But then I was doubting if it's going to be purple. The thing is, then I start boiling them and did the whole process, and then it turned really bright magenta, which was very exciting. And as you see, the glass bottle is beautiful. Interesting thing is, then when you brush it onto the paper, it turned blue-gray. So there's only so much you can control, or, you know, your expectation is not going to be matched. But that's the interesting part, too, the challenge. I was given this natural color by this land, and then what comes out of it is what it is. So I'm not trying to copy the nature, but I'm just sort of returning what was given to me on the paper.
Another component of this project is the logging of where you get the samples, what they turn into. You have a clipboard with forms on it, and there is a map of Manitoba painted on the wall, and you're also pinning the colors that you get in certain places on the map. Where did that idea come from? Why is that a part of it?
Original idea was sort of between art making and science experiment, and also record keeping. The entire project is within a process. So when people come, they continuously see the process and development of the project. So in a way, the time is important too. The season changes, specimen changes. So it's like alive, constantly changes. So in order to keep my head organized, I needed some kind of system and organization. So again, Randall Martin made this chart for me, along with the map with the grid, so I can locate each specimen. And then in this lab space, I hand drew the entire map of Manitoba, and I make the color sample and pin them on the wall. So when people comes in, they see those colors, and I'm mapping each color specimen papers all over the map of Manitoba.
As we're speaking, there are 10 colors you have so far, 10 inks you have so far, it looks like. Do you have any sense of how many you will end up with?
Not at all.
I didn't think so. You couldn't, kind of.
Could be hundreds, but I have to see how much I can collect and how quickly I can turn it into inks.
How much time are you spending here, and how is that time determined? Like, do you have other things in life you have to do, presumably, but are you sort of allowed to be here to work whenever you're available?
Basically, yes, which is amazing. But yes, of course, I have other lives. And I try my best to create as much time as possible, because what an amazing opportunity I was given. Also, it's not that I'm spending all my time in this room. I'm going out to this entire acres.
Have you had to do any kind of research or communicate with anybody about any part of this to learn on your way? Because I know it's a lot of figuring stuff out on your feet.
In the researching process, I went to a couple of different places, but I happened to get in touch with this natural dye artist who lives in Sheffield, Massachusetts, Bryce Honeycutt. She and I, since then, became very good friends. We never met, actually, but still correspondent each other through email. We spoke over the phone once. But she's been, every time I receive email, she's mentioning, have you seen bloodroots? Or have you seen skunk cabbage? I hear that makes a beautiful dye. I don't know, but you can try it out. So I'm following her suggestion. And actually, it's been a lot of wonderful information I received from her. So that's one very interesting aspect of start trying to do something new, because that creates the encountering new people and then become friends. Like the friendship I also gain by new project.
Allison, how has this residency, as you're observing it, shifted, and what have you already learned from this place where you spend a lot of time, but the residence artists are always discovering something new?
Yes.
What have you observed?
Well, Kazumi's work and her focus and her poetry excites me to investigate, to collect specimens, to to get refreshed and inspired by the woodland landscape. And I think that while I was listening to Kazumi speak, the work or the residency, her project is both focused and expansive. It's science and art. It's systematic and open-ended. And it's so much in tune, I believe, with how Russell Wright lived here and created what he did here was in response to magnificent nature that intrigued him, intrigues Kazumi. His craft or his output was a bit different, but it was inspired by nature to then produce something else. So, and also the rhythm of time and of nature, and the fact that we are able this year to afford Kazumi the time to be here in almost a true residency, to be, as you said earlier, within the house and then to go out into the landscape. And I think in addition, this other layer is our guests and our visitors being within the lab and yet seeing the map and the log, and it presents the greater picture of the woodland, of the 75 acres, and of Russell Wright's vision here for Manitoba. We keep going, swinging the scope, the range, right? The incredible range, which I think Manitoba is. Right. There's this intimacy and yet this timelessness of nature. So you expand and then you come in close. And Kazumi's work does that in a very beautiful way. It's not a comparison in terms of the other projects that we've had, but there's been such a variety. And that's what's very exciting for me and for Manitoba, to be able to offer Manitoba as a canvas, as a place to experiment, as a place to try something that an artist may not have done before or wants to try, or that it evolves. And that was one of the things that Kazumi and I talked about, or she said to me early on, and she said, I don't know where it's going. And I said, well, fabulous, right? Isn't that, that's great, because it's about process and experimentation and unfolding, and then to have our visitors be able to be part of that.
Allison Cross is the executive director of Manitoba, the Russell Wright Design Center. I spoke with her and this year's residency artist, Kazumi Tanaka, at Manitoba in Garrison, New York. Tanaka's ongoing project is entitled Ink, the Color of Manitoba. Manitoba's member opening celebration and the official artist residency launch will take place tomorrow. To learn more about that event and various guided tours and hikes and other special events that Manitoba offers throughout the summer, check out visitmanitoba.org. Photos of Kazumi Tanaka's lab, as discussed in this interview, are also available there. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.